Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of this station. They're my views and, the views of our callers. And we welcome your callers from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us on the line right now a personal friend and I believe the leading researcher we have going into the background of what's really going on in the world, and that's Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Dr. Cuddy has worked with the Department of Education. He's taught at the university level, and of course now he's spending his time writing books. We carry many of his books. Secret Records Revealed, which we certainly recommend to you, his book Now is the Dawning, his book on the globalists, his book on the NEA. All of these are available through Radio Liberty. Dr. Cuddy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your take on what's going on now?
Well, my take or what's going on now is sort of like when FDR made that statement, if anything happens in politics, it was not by accident, it was planned that way. And there's plenty of examples, but I don't want to go back too far. But if you remember in the book that I did, The Globalist, The Paralete Exposed, the whole idea of what we did in Kosovo and the Balkans is just, you know, happening by accident seemed rather strange to me, because if we were really concerned about humanity, we would have done something in Rwanda, but 700-plus people got slaughtered there. And I was wondering, you know, well, they don't have any oil in Rwanda, but they you know, do have other economic benefits to Germany and others in the Kosovo area. If you're going to have a trade route down to the Mediterranean and through the various sea areas there. And so what you do is you research, and what you find out, and I put this in The Globalist, there were a couple of reports around 1992-ish by some Carnegie people, involved Madeleine Albright, some leading players who would be a big part of the Clinton administration. And to make a long story short, basically what they said is if there was this humanitarian crisis as a result of ethnic cleansing, this would justify our intervention in that area. Lo and behold, apparently the Kosovo Liberation Army can actually read. And if they read that, they would say, aha, there's, you know, our signal as to what we can do, and sure enough, it happens. More to the current status in Afghanistan, for example, I wondered back in 1995 why our troops would be conducting military exercises in Kazakhstan, of all places. I mean, you know, maybe Leningrad or around Moscow or something. What's Kazakhstan got to do with anything? And I did some research, and a couple of things became apparent. Number one, there was this map back in 1952 put out by the World Association of Parliamentarians for World Government, which said, in the end, when we're going to have this world government down the road, remember this was 52, they said various nations would be policing other nations, and American troops would be in Yugoslavia, where they are now, Australia, where they are now, and Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and so forth, where they just happen to be now. And so that didn't seem to be a coincidence, and I think I hear the music, so we'll continue after the break.
All right. Well, I think it's very important that people remember that the Bosnian Muslims were backed by the wicked Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And who was backing the Bosnian Muslims? Why, the United States was backing them. We were backing Osama bin Laden's effort, and we'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And I would need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And Dr. Cuddy is certainly well-known throughout the world for his books, The Secret Records Revealed, The Globalist, and incidentally, we carry all of these books. And of course, his book now is The Dawning. His latest book on September 11th,
Prior Knowledge.
Prior Knowledge. And he's coming out with another new book. We carry his book on the NEA. We carry his book on The Road to Socialism, the story of the Fabian Socialist Movement, their impact on America. We carry his chronology of the New World Order and education. And if you want to get any of these books, why, give us a call or go up to our website and look at them. But I believe that Dr. Cuddy is certainly one of the best informed people as far as this whole movement towards the New World Order, and so we're so pleased to have him. And of course, he was commenting that, you know, that there was information out there long before our involvement in Kosovo and in Bosnia by the people who were talking about how important it was to get America involved, American troops involved all throughout the world. You go back and you read the writings of Zygmunt Brzezinski, writing in 1997, pointing out that the Middle East is the center of the world. And the only way we were going to be able to get America to change its foreign policy if there was a perceived direct external threat. Well, we had a perceived direct external threat on the 11th of September of 2001, and everything changed. And that's why we went to war with Afghanistan, because the wicked Osama bin Laden was behind the 9/11 attack. And now we find out it really wasn't the wicked Osama bin Laden, it was the wicked Sheikh Mohammed. He was the one who was really behind it, and we just got him. But of course, what about all those people we killed in Afghanistan? What do we say when we find out that Osama bin Laden may have known about the attack? But there's a great deal of evidence to show that our own leaders knew about the attack, because FBI agents went to David Shippers, and they went to my friend Dr. Garth Nicholson, who we'll be having on our programs here within the next few days, and they told both of these men there was going to be terrorist attacks. They told Dr. Nicholson, and I have no reason not to believe him, because everything else he's ever told me has been true, that he was told it would be on September 11th. And he told high officials in government, and David Shippers went to Washington, D.C., but nobody would talk to him because he had been told by FBI agents who were afraid for their jobs and perhaps for their lives about what was going to happen. And, of course, the tragedy is that the average American has never heard that, and David Shippers, who headed the committee that impeached the President of the United States, knew all of these people. He certainly knew Attorney General John Ashcroft. He had known all of the people there, and nobody wanted to talk to him about the coming terrorist attack. And you wonder why. You would think that if he had inside information from FBI agents, and, well, what about the new investigation? Will the new investigation we're going to have get to the bottom of it? No, because they're not going to allow anybody from the FBI, except very selected people, to testify. That's why the president insisted on appointing the head of the committee, and nobody can testify unless at least six people on that committee want them. Why not anybody who has information? You would think they'd want to get to the truth. Or do they want to get to the truth, or do they want to conceal the truth? And I think that's the question we should all ask. And it was because, of course, of what happened on 9/11 that we went to war in Afghanistan, and now we're going to war with Iraq. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've read the plan, it's very, if you did not see the Nightline program with Ted Koppel on the 5th of March, you really need to get the transcript, because they interviewed Mr. William Crystal, who's chairman of a group called the Project for the New American Century, and he made it very obvious that Korea is on the hit list, Iran and Saudi Arabia on the hit list, and we're working for an American empire. Dr. Cuddy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you've covered a lot. Let me back up and try and go through some of that. In terms of Brzezinski and his 1997, what you're bringing up is a useful thing if you go like backwards, because then you can sort of trace this stuff. And prior to 97, of course, Brzezinski was at the State of the World Forum, that's Gorbachev's outfit in 95, and where he said, we're going to have this world government, but we can't get there all at once. We have to have this regionalism approach first. And so what you find are these regional incidents popping up to line things up. You have to get the Balkans in order to further European trade routes and so forth. There's a lot more to it, but basically his regional approach is an outgrowth of Cecil Rhodes' own plan that was developed, and the specific person sort of organizing that regional approach to get to world government was one of his followers named Percy Corbett from Canada back around 1940, and I include that material in my book, Announce the Dawning of the New Age, New World Order. In terms of what you said about 9/11 being foreknown, David Shippers and others' comments, one of the things that I begin this new book, which is titled Cover Up, Government Spin, or Truth, is right at the first in the introduction, I give a couple of quotes from Newsweek, one on September 13th of 2001, another one September 24th of 2001, which basically gives information, asks the question which your listeners should ask themselves, and that is why on September 10th of 2001, the day before the tragic events, with some top Pentagon officials suddenly, that was the word used, suddenly canceled their travel plans for the next morning, because of, quote, security concerns, quote. Unless, of course, they had some, in my opinion, specific credible information that an attack was about to occur. Now, even if you give them the benefit of the doubt, even if you say, well, maybe they didn't know that the planes would actually hit the buildings. Maybe they were sitting around and saying, well, we've got some NSA, National Security Agents intercepts. Looks like there's going to be attack. Maybe tomorrow, probably tomorrow, Tuesday the 11th, but we're not 100% sure. Maybe a hijacking. Well, you know, if we were really sure, maybe we could tell the public, but if it's the next day, then we look stupid. And if it's a hijacking, you know, we've had hijackings in the past. They just grab a bunch of people, take them to Cuba or something. And then they decided, because of that, not to tell the public. And the problem with that is Kristen Breitwiser, whose husband was lost in the second World Trade Center tower collapse, said that if the public had been notified, and her husband and a lot of other people, when that first plane hit the first tower, they would have immediately evacuated that building. And so what you found is something I thought was curious at the time, which was President Bush, Giuliani, Rumsfeld, all of them saying nobody could have, quote, imagined, quote, that happening. And, of course, that's ridiculous because there have even been federal government reports that says specifically Al-Qaeda's martyrdom battalion could hijack planes and fly them into the Pentagon and other buildings. So something smelled right there.
Well, I think one of the most interesting things to me was a book that you'd recommended to me. It was called Attack America by a man named Joseph Badansky. And this was a 1993 book in which he said, in 1993, why in Iran they've got a training camp where they have 707s and 747s, and they're training the terrorists on how to check, hijack our planes and apply them in the buildings. Now, the most significant thing about that book is how difficult it is to get a copy of through regular channels. And I had to get one out of England, paperback, for $25. Were you able to get a copy of that book?
Not myself buying it personally, but there I found a library somewhere else in the U.S. that happened to have it, so I interlibrary loaned it.
But it's very, very hard to get. Now,
yes.
Why would a book like that be hard to get unless somebody is covering it up? And this is a program we see. We criticize Hitler for a book burning, and we rightly should. But they suppress books in the United States, and if you don't believe that, you need to get my interviews with Craig Roberts, who was told when he wanted to get one of his books published, look, by an editor at Simon & Schuster, we can't publish that book because the CIA agents are here, and if we publish that book, I'd lose my job. You better publish it yourself. That's the book Medusa File. If you ever read the book, you'll know why the CIA would not want that book published. Well, the same thing is true with Joseph Badansky. How embarrassing it would be for the American people to know that they knew back in 1993, in fact, long before that, this was in the early 80s, that these camps were set up, training them how to hijack planes. And then Dick Cheney, who just happened to be a member of the Project for a New American Century, said, gee, we had no idea that this could happen. I don't know how many people noticed it. They've already taken bids from companies that are going to rebuild Iraq, and one of them just happens to be Halliburton. Who is the CEO of Halliburton? Well, Dick Cheney, after being in government for most of his life, left the Secretary of Defense, and suddenly he goes in not as a junior assistant, or he becomes the CEO of Halliburton. He stays there for 8 years, makes countless millions of dollars, and then he becomes the Vice President of the United States. And after this attack that nobody could have anticipated, his corporation is going to be rebuilding Iraq. Isn't that interesting? I guess that's just coincidence.
Sure. It's just like George Shultz had gone with Bechtel, and Bechtel got a lot of the contracts after Kuwait was destroyed to a large extent during the Gulf War.
In fact, they're considering Bechtel also for rebuilding the area over there.
Well, I guess they, you know, have to divvy it up, and you can figure on the Carlyle Group getting a piece of the action too, because the President Bush, the current President Bush, has been sort of a consultant. His father, I think, still is an advisor and traveling over there, along with James Baker, former Secretary of State too. They always, you know, seem to have these connections.
Yeah, Frank Carlucci, James Baker, and George Bush, all on the board of Carlyle. And 6 years ago, they invested heavily in defense stocks. And I said, why would they do that? 6 years ago, nobody thought there was going to be another war. And not only that, they were, of course, investing in things like the mobile howitzer and the Bradley fighting vehicle, you know, that... why would they do that? The only place you could use that is a desert war. Why would you, 6 years ago, who would have thought there was going to be a desert war? But they knew. Carlyle Corporation did.
One of the, since you mentioned the Project for the New American Century and William Crystal, one of the letters that they wrote that you faxed to me, the specific one on January 23rd of 2003, they wrote a letter to President Bush where they were talking about American strength is key to building the new world you have envisioned. That new world sounds very much like the New World Order. That particular letter was signed by CFR member Frank Carlucci, who was a former Secretary of Defense and now with the Carlyle Group, a global investment firm with defense contracts and so on.
Well, of course, this thing was all decided long ago. And for the skeptic out there, you go up to their website. It's called www.newamericancentury.org and start pulling down these letters, starting in 1998 when this small group of people headed by people like Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz were writing to then-President Clinton saying, we've got to go to war with Saddam Hussein. In essence, they're saying that. And then they're writing to President Bush right after the attack on September 11th, and they're saying, we've got to go to war with Iraq, or we've got to take out Saddam Hussein. And then writing it to him in January of this year, congratulating him for going to war with Saddam Hussein. This was all planned long ago. In fact, in their report, Rebuilding America's Defenses, a year before the attack on, they put that report out on September of the year 2000. They were talking about the importance of stationing American troops in the Middle East. And it didn't really matter about the regime. It transcends the regime of Saddam Hussein. The important thing was to get American troops there. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. And Saddam Hussein is simply the excuse. And American boys are going to die. An awful lot of them are going to die. But you need to verify what we're saying. Go to their website and get the transcript for Ted Koppel's March 5th Nightline report, where they interview William Crystal, and he lays the whole story out. North Korea is next, and then, of course, after that, we'll be taking out the governments or replacing the governments of both Iran and Saudi Arabia. An awful lot of boys are going to die before this is over, and there's going to be a lot of changes in America. And in the process, of course, why the Ashcroft, the Justice Department has plans for another USA Patriot Act. And, of course, anybody is a patriot who opposes what the government's doing. Anybody is a terrorist, I should say, who opposes what the government is doing. And we've already accepted the concept that if you're accused of being a terrorist, you've lost all of your rights to a trial by jury or habeas corpus or anything else. Well, sounds like we're going to a break here in just a moment. So when we get back, of course, we have Bart calling from Carmel, and of course we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Get on the web. Check what we're saying. Get my newsletter, my March newsletter. I'll give you the references for everything we're saying. Well, and for the fact that we backed Saddam Hussein after he had used the poison gas on both the Iraqi Kurds and the Iranians. Gee, why would we have done such a stupid thing as that? I mean, I thought he was a terrible, wicked man. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just wanted to mention that in the past, the Big Berkey water filters were not available here in California. Now, the Big Berkey is a sort of standard that's used throughout the country for filtering bacteria and various chemicals out of water, but here there's a great new one now. In fact, it's even cheaper than the Big Berkey. It's called the Berkey Light, and it filters about 2.5 gallons of water. It'll filter actually about 25 gallons of water a day or more. And of course, it's transparent, so you can actually see the water levels. The Berkey is stainless steel. This one is transparent. It has two filters. And the problem is the filters only last for a couple of years, whereas the Big Berkey will last more indefinitely. But, of course, the new one, of course, is a much more total filtration. The bacteria just don't get through it at all, and that's why it can be sold here in California. The Berkey Light is $199 plus shipping, $10 shipping. If you buy it through Radio Liberty and you specifically ask for it, we'll be glad to give you either one of our videos or one of our four tape sets. We have a number that we recommend. If you want another one, why, you certainly can request it. But if you want to get the Berkey Light, and they're available in California now, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you can actually filter any water through this, whether it comes from lakes or from streams. It's a wonderful means of getting not only the bacteria out, but most of the chemicals out of there. And so the Berkey Light is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you need replacement filters, Mylar bags, if you need iodine tablets, all of these things we're carrying from Jim Shepard, and so they're available by giving us a call. We also carry the Big Berkey. It's available all across America. And, of course, it's the ultimate water filter. It's the most economic water filter you can buy. Ceramic filters can be recleaned up to 100 times, which is an advantage over the Berkey Light. But if you'd be interested, just give us a call, and give us a call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And, of course, if you haven't read his book, 911 Prior Knowledge, if you haven't read his book, Secret Records Revealed, and that's really one of my favorite books, his book, Now is the Dawning, his book on globalism, his book on The Road to Socialism. You need to get these. These are the finest books that are available out there, and they're all available by giving us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But we've got right now Bart calling from Carmel, and I think it's important that people understand that we are being manipulated into not just this war, as we were manipulated into the last war, Afghanistan, because of the wicked Osama bin Laden, who we never happened to catch. And then it turned out he wasn't the mastermind behind the 9/11 attack. That was somebody else. But, gee, they told us before they had the hard evidence. And now, of course, they found it was somebody else. Bart, are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. Good afternoon, Dr. Stan, Dr. Cuddy. I do have a question for you. I'm honored to speak to both of you. But first, allow me, please, to say that for those of us that have even a perfunctory understanding of what's going on, watching the evening news is as though the pages of George Orwell's 1984 were coming to life before our eyes. I am flattered that they think so highly of patriots like you and I, that they are preparing special accommodations for us in the form of 3 1-million-man FEMA camps, concentration camps, which have just been completed. This is from that great right-wing conspiratorial publication, the New York Times.
Well, if you'd send me the information on that, Bart, I hadn't seen that one at all.
It's from the New York Times.
Well, could you send it to me?
Okay, I'll see if I can locate it. Maybe
okay.
Dr. Cuddy has some more information on that. Thank you.
Well, we know that they're building relocation camps. We know that they have a lot of old army camps here that they're planning, and where they're actually planning, in case that there's a terrorist attack, to detain people and put them into it. But this is long-range planning. Anybody who's heard our 4-tape set on concentration camps or who's seen the video, the amazing clips, where Congressman Gonzalez says exactly what I just said. There is a plan, in case of terrorist attacks, to arrest American citizens and put them into detention camps. So that is the amazing clips. If you haven't seen it, you need to get it, and you need to show it to your friends. Anything else you want to say, Bart?
Yes, Dr. Cuddy, it all smells so bad now. It's all so blatant. I'm just wondering, you get around quite a bit. Are you getting the sense that even deep sleepers are beginning to wake up? And I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
All right, fine. By deep sleepers, I guess... that's the average American out there who is lulled asleep by, by the evening news and maybe even by what he hears in church, that we're not supposed to be involved. It's all in God's hands. And I'm sure God can intervene any time, but I'm sure he's weeping because the good people are doing nothing.
Sure. In some of my books, I talk about how that happened, Tavistock, the principle of what was called social turbulence. You create a certain amount of chaos, and then people then go into psychological retreat. If you can get them to do that, then they're easier to manipulate, keep the masses entertained and amused and so forth, and then you can control global events much more easier if they're tuned out and turned off, and all the slogans from the late 60s and 70s. In terms of the detention camps, Chris Ruddy, I think, at Newsmax challenged them when he found these contracts that had been already let out for bid to build these. Now, of course, you have to be careful because what the people who are getting the contracts would say is, oh, that's just, if there are massive disruptions, displaced people, if there was a chemical attack here, these poor people of City X, wherever it is, would have to be moved somewhere, blah, blah, blah. But they already have the authority to move them onto military bases, and in my book, The Globalist, I also put two, Togo West, General Togo West from the Pentagon some years ago, and then even one prior to that, to authorizing where these military bases could be used to detain large numbers of people. In terms of FEMA, I go into that somewhat in this new book as well, what is happening there and their justification supposedly for their power grab that will come about. In terms of your original statement about Orwell's 1984, what I've done in some of my later books, in fact, this one I think is show how, if you research it, 1984 was just the title of the centenary of the Fabian Society, but the events of that book were supposed to happen right after the year 2000, where we are now.
Amen to that. Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Jim is calling in. Hi, Jim. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts, Dr. Smith.
Okay, I have a question, a comment. Maybe we can at least get the question, and then we'll get to it afterwards. But what's the question?
A question for Dr. Cuddy. I wonder if he comes to the same conclusion I have, that the Bush administration is deliberately threatening Iraq with a U.S. invasion in order to provoke a preemptive terrorist attack on U.S. soil, and the Bush administration would then use this to morally justify a U.S. invasion to the world.
Oh, I think the music's playing. I'll get to that after the break.
All right, fine. We'll be right back here. And, of course, this is Dr. No, another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we actually have a four-tape set on concentration camps. We were just talking about it. And, of course, nothing is going to happen for a time, but FEMA apparently was given, put out a $300 million contract for plans to build about a $4 billion worth of relocation camps in case there was a major terrorist attack. And, of course, they say, well, you know, we have to make these plans. After all, we've got to be able to take care of the people. But, of course, there would not be a major terrorist attack on the United States if we weren't, of course, planning on going ahead and taking out Iraq. We've already taken Afghanistan. Plans are there to take out Iran and Syria and Saudi Arabia. And if you doubt that, you really need to get the transcript of that talk. And whether we replace them, however we're going to replace them, William Crystal is a little vague about that, but in his interview last week with Ted Koppel, he said that they're going to have to be replaced, or we are going to be involved with replacing the governments of Iran and Saudi Arabia. Do you think that is going to encourage them not to finance or continue financing the terrorists? Now, remember, most of this terrorist movement is being financed by Saudi Arabia, and we know that. And we're not trying to stop them. And the question is, why not? If you doubt what I say, the book Hatred's Kingdom by Ambassador Dorgold, Hatred's Kingdom, he was our guest this last week, you need to get the book. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to see pictures of the camps, the video, America Behind Bob Wire, or Bob Wire Over America. And then, of course, for a more detailed summary of everything going on, incredible, incredible information, call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Amazing Clips. That's Amazing Clips. It's put out by David Wagner. And I promise you, if you watch that, it will convince you and convince anybody else. It's 4.5 hours of videos, 3 videos. You'll find them truly amazing. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Jim had called in and asked Dr. Cuddy, if Jim is still hanging on the line, do you think that this is, we are going to attack Iraq to try to create a preemptive attack on America? And I would simply answer, and I'll let, well, I'm going to let Dr. Cuddy answer that, and then I'll give you my opinion. How would you respond to Jim?
Well, I think I know where he's getting that from, that this is basically what happened prior to September 11th. We sort of openly threatened war against Osama bin Laden, and then lo and behold, we were very surprised that he preemptively attacked on September 11th to try and stimulate our reaction so that the Arab world, Muslim world, would unite against what they call the Great Satan. So that scenario has been tried before, so you can't really tell what may work. Also, as you said, these sort of public pronouncements by this Project for the New American Century, where in some of these documents they say, well, first it's Iraq, and you know, then it's Iran and Syria, so it's like they're egging them on to do something. If I could move real quickly through some other points that you brought up. The Target America book by Budansky, you mentioned, what's important about that is not only what he said about the training ground for hijacking planes and flying them into buildings, but that back during the 80s, they knew that there were already many, many of these groups, these terrorists here with cells all across the country and false identity papers and safe houses and weapons already here. Now, how would they know that unless somebody was monitoring them? In terms of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Again, this fits with your questioner talking about the preemptive attack. I find it very strange that this fellow was out there living in a upper middle class neighborhood in a town for 16 months, and we supposedly had no idea where he was. He just happened to get sloppy toward the end using his cell phone or something, leaving his unencoded computers right there, not at some other safe location. At the very time when we were being questioned as whether we could go after the terrorists still while we were pursuing the coming war with Iraq. Also, if this guy's the genius behind everything, not only do I wonder how he happened to get caught after 16 months, but how he couldn't, for some reason, during the past 16 months, after he'd persuaded 19 people to literally commit suicide for the cause, he couldn't find one other person in 16 months to do, you know, any tampering with any rail system or a, you know, aspirin bottle or anything.
Here in the United States, right?
Yeah, right, in the U.S. So that seemed rather rather strange as well. Also, you will remember that Norman Dodd, in your interview that you had with him some years ago, he was talking about when the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was set up, he found Catherine, his assistant, went out and found in the transcripts where they said war was the best way to get nations involved in an effort down the road to create this sort of world government. And what I mentioned at the first of the program about these two Carnegie reports in the early 90s being sort of the foreshadowing of what was to come in Kosovo, in this project for the New American Century, when, as you said, it started in 1997, and in that very year, what you had was an article by Robert Kagan, a scholar with the Carnegie Endowment. He was co-author with William Crystal of the Weekly Standard, and Paul Wolfowitz contributed to the article, and the title on that Weekly Standard cover was Saddam Must Go. And so right after that, as you indicated, they published their first letter in January the next year, 98, to President Clinton.
This was the project for the New American Century, right?
Right, and that is signed by CFR members Richard Perle, for example, a Defense Department person, James Woolsey, Rhodes Scholar, former CIA director, and among others, Zalmay Khalilzad, who just happens to be, he's with this project, former Taliban lobbyist, UNITAL advisor, and current Bush administration envoy to Afghanistan and the Iraqi opponents of Saddam Hussein. And in that letter, of course, as we've indicated, they say the safety of American troops in the region, our friends and allies like Israel, modern Arab states, and the world's oil supply necessitates Saddam being removed. Okay, so they follow this up, as you indicated, with the September 2000 report, Rebuilding America's Defenses. And they say there that basically Iraq provides an immediate justification for moving into the area. We want this permanent positioning in the Gulf, and that transcends Saddam Hussein. So,
it doesn't matter really whether Saddam Hussein is there or not. It's much more important than Saddam Hussein. The important thing is to have American troops stationed in the Middle East.
Right. And then in terms of your caller who just called in about the preemption, it says, but this unfortunately, they say, this transformation is not likely to happen, this revolutionary change, quote, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. And, of course, we know that 9/11 has been compared to Pearl Harbor. And so then they proceed to have another letter, which is right after September 11th. They dated that one September 20th, and among other people signing that one were CFR member Gene Kirkpatrick, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Martin Peretz, he's editor-in-chief of New Republic, and Midge Dector, very close friend of William Crystal and so forth. She's a former vice president of League for Industrial Democracy, she was.
That is the Fabian Socialist Organization
right.
in the United States, and Gene Kirkpatrick is former assistant director of the Council on Foreign Relations. So it all ties together.
Right, and so then after that, of course, they have the January 23rd letter that I mentioned that Carlucci signed along with Max Boot, another CFR member, he's editorial features editor of the Wall Street Journal, another globalist paper, and signed by Gary Bauer, former head of the Family Research Council. And so in these letters, they keep saying, you know, we have to go after Saddam, we have to go after Saddam, and they literally say to the second letter to Bush, President Bush, that if you don't do this, this is a failure to respond to the terrorists. So it's like they're, you know, sort of egging him on. And then of course, you had the, what you mentioned, the Nightline program with Ted Koppel interviewing him, and he begins the program by saying, tonight, the plan, how one group and its blueprint have brought us to the brink of war. And what was interesting in there is there's a professor, Ian Lustig, from University of Pennsylvania, and he said, it's a rather startling statement, it's just three sentences, I'll read it real quick. Before 9/11, this group, Project New American Century, was in the position it's in, but could not win over the president to the extravagant image of what foreign policy required. After 9/11, it was able to benefit from the gigantic eruption of political capital combined with the supply of military preponderance in the hands of the president, and this small group, therefore, was able to gain direct contact and even control now of the White House, end quote. So that shows the power this group has.
Well, I mean, the people have to understand Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, Richard Pearl. I mean, all of these people, the ambassador to Afghanistan, they all come from this little group. They surround the president. They control him. And many of them come from the CFR. Many of them do not. About half of them don't, half of them. But they're all dedicated to this idea of an American empire, a new international order that will, of course, ensure our prosperity, our security, and our principles. But what principles are they talking about? While using war, of course, to advance their agenda.
Well, that would fit with the, you know, 100 years ago and Norman Dodd and the Carnegie Endowment. I mean, if it worked 100 years ago, I guess it'll work now.
And anybody who would like to hear that interview with Norman Dodd, it's in our four-tape set, The Secret Government. Jim, who's still hanging on the line, let me tell you, there's an article in the January-February issue of Foreign Affairs magazine. Foreign Affairs is published by our secret government. It is the front for the secret society Cecil Rhodes created. It is the most widely read magazine by the elite who run the world. And if all you need to do is see who advertises in it, the people who control the wealth of the world. And in the January-February issue, an article by Richard K. Betts, who is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a senior fellow at the CFR, has a think tank at Columbia University, and he's talking, I think the article is called Suicide to Prevent Death, and the whole theme is, look, if Saddam Hussein is really so wicked that he sometime in the future will attack us, sometime in the future, despite the fact he knows if we attack him, that we would retaliate and destroy him and his country, if we think he's going to do that in the future, what makes you think that if we attack him now, and we drive him to the wall and go after the jugular and we're going to kill him, what makes you think he won't retaliate on the United States at this time? I mean, what preparations are we making to protect the American people? And his points are really very valid. It's one of the few times I really appreciated an article in the Foreign Affairs. I usually want to see what the enemy is saying, but at least this is very logical. Jim, I think you're right on. They know very well if they push Saddam to the wall, why these cells that have been here for a long time, that have been held under total control, that's why we've had nothing here this last year. But when, of course, I fear that these people can be told to take action, and when they do, heaven help the people of America. There could be chaos here, and I think that that is exactly what is planned. Anything else, Jim?
No, other than to say, Dr. Stan, there's an article on today's WorldNet Daily that talks about if there's going to be a terrorist attack anytime soon, it will probably be on Friday when there's a an Islamic holy day on that day.
All right, fine. Thanks so much, Jim.
All right, then. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye.
Telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, I hope and pray there are not going to be these attacks. I hope and pray that we're wrong, but as you read the writing on the wall, why have they left our borders open? Why have we got troops all around the world, but we can't close our borders? Why are we still bringing in people from terrorist nations? And within the last few months, we've brought them in. Why is any efforts by the part of the INS to stop or to arrest the terrorists who are already here being effectively blocked? Why even with somebody like Malvo, one of the two snipers, after he was arrested for being here illegally, he was immediately released on his own recognizance? And he went out and killed all these people, and nobody's ever held responsible. There's so many unanswered questions. And I think the people of this country may understand that behind everything is a spiritual battle and spiritual forces which are energizing this whole incredible movement, because the ultimate goal is a new world order and a new world religion.
Well, I think you're absolutely right in terms of the cells. As we discussed before, there were 8,000 Iraqi soldiers put over here in 1993 and 94 around the country as
under the first year of the Clinton administration, but approved by the State Department of the former Bush administration. And then just 3-4 weeks ago, the federal government said there were at least 3,000 Iraqis who had come here who have they have no idea, you know, of where they are. And what I've said previously is if you just take 1/10 of them, say 300, the type of damage, ripping up rails, you know, salmonella in the food supply, you know, whatever they could do. And what you got to remember is it took about 3-4 weeks to catch Malvo, and that was only because he or Mohammed, who he was with, called and said, hey, why don't you guys, the policeman, Moose, up in Maryland and others, look down in Alabama for this murder here. And only by doing that did they even find out about their place up in the state of Washington. So, I mean, it's not, you can't assume that if these Iraqi agents here were to do something, we'd even catch them for 3 weeks going around doing all kinds of dastardly deeds. I want to pick up on one thing as the time's getting back to what you said about the evil Osama bin Laden, because a lot of your listeners would listen to this and say, well, it sort of makes sense, but, you know, is our government really capable of this sort of stuff? And what I've done on the first page of part one of the new book, Cover-Up, is give what I think would be a good example. And what I try to do is give examples that are by some reputable people, you know, not just somebody's opinion off the Internet. And so the first page I include a former Canadian ambassador to Yugoslavia. His name's James Bissett. And this will take a couple of minutes, but I think it's important because it's this type of thing that may wake up, as one of your previous callers, the deep sleepers of the U.S., to know what we are capable of. I'll read this real quick. When Canadian pilots joined the NATO bombing Yugoslavia in March of 99, we were told that NATO intervention in Kosovo was necessary to prevent the violence there from spreading and destabilizing the Balkans. Yet we now know that long before the bombing, NATO countries were inciting violence in Kosovo and attempting to destabilize that Serbian province. Media reports have revealed that as early as 1998, the CIA, assisted by British Special Armed Services, were arming and training Kosovo Liberation Army members in Albania to foment armed rebellion in Kosovo.
That's the Al Qaeda. That's Bin Laden's men that were arming and training him. See, I wonder why we do a stupid thing like that.
Right, and it goes on. The KLA terrorists were sent back into Kosovo to assassinate Serbian mayors, ambush Serbian policemen, and do everything possible to incite murder and chaos. After bombing Yugoslavia into submission, NATO then stood by and submissively allowed the KLA to murder, pillage, and burn, and so forth. Now, that's the former Canadian ambassador to Yugoslavia, a person who has some good reputation to know what he's talking about. So, you know, that type of information in this new book, I hope, will awaken the deep sleepers.
Well, I hope and pray that will. I think there are a lot of people who don't want to hear a bad news. But, of course, our job is to tell them and hope that at least some of them will understand that, you know, there's still something can be done. It is the people who do nothing that will be responsible if America is lost. And as I've said so many times before, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And we will be judged not only by what we do, but by what we don't do in this day and age. And we are expected to be involved. We really are. This idea, oh, you're not to do anything, everything is in somebody else's hands. Well, of course, if the people who are preaching that, they all have life insurance. They all have pensions. You know, they all have health insurance. And when something bad happens, they go to the doctor. And if they really believe what they were saying, they would not be preaching what they're preaching. So we've got real problems in our society. And perhaps Karl Marx was right. Perhaps in some instances, when we have false teaching, why opium is, pardon me, religion is the opiate of the masses. So people have to become informed. They have to become involved. They have to understand that we're involved in this truly spiritual battle, and most people even don't want to know there's anything wrong. But America is going to war. And with that are going to come, I believe, I fear, dramatic changes in America. And I think there are an awful lot of people who just refuse to become involved, and they refuse even to make any preparations. And, of course, I fear for them because I think, as it was in Germany, and I was in Germany after the Second World War, where the Christians allowed Adolf Hitler to do the terrible things, and they knew that nothing bad was ever going to happen to them. And walking through the rubble of those towns and looking at the blank expression on the people's faces when they realized that they'd been lied to. and betrayed by their own leaders. Well, Dr. Cuddy, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for today, and when will your book be out?
It is scheduled to be available on March 31st now. They've got a firm date.
What's the title?
Cover-Up, Government Spin, or Truth.
Cover-Up, Government Spin, or Truth. And, of course, as soon as it's out, we'll announce it here on Radio Liberty. We don't call yet. We don't even know what it's going to cost. But we'll be sure to carry Dr. Cuddy's a new book. What are your parting thoughts?
Well, remain vigilant. Don't panic. Pray. Nothing's going to be accomplished without prayer and God's assistance. And stay involved and continue listening to Radio Liberty.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Dr. Cuddy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of things. First of all, if you have made plans in case there is a disruption in our society, people don't like to think about it, but think what will happen, you know, if suddenly the trucks aren't running, if there's no food in the grocery stores. Well, let me suggest that you think very seriously about at least having some supplies on hand, maybe a little bit more than the 3 days the government tells you to have. Why do they say 3 days? Because in 3 days, they plan to have people there to begin rounding people up and putting them into camps. And if you don't want to have to go, why, you better have something at least to help you get through the difficult times. Should they come about, the people in government think they're going to come about, because they're spending $4 billion, at least according to Chris Ruddy, on relocation camps for American citizens. That could never happen here. Well, at least give serious consideration to making plans. If you'd like a catalog from Ready Reserve Foods, which has not only food but lots of other things that you would need, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Ready Reserve catalog. And then, of course, if you're out across America and you'd like to get a conventional Big Berkey, remember, this is the ultimate water filter. It's been around for a long time. These have been used for 150 years by missionaries, and it's powerful. It'll remove pathogens, E. coli, cholera, and cryptosporidium. It reduces chlorine, herbicides, and pesticides, foul taste, and odors. And the Big Berkey is ordinarily $279. We offer it for $239. And then, of course, we give you, if you buy it through us, one of our videos that we have produced, or a four-tape set that we produced, and we have a set of about 10 of them there. If you want to substitute, you can. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a Big Berkey. They're not, however, available here in California. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, the Berkey Light is available in California, and if you want to get those, well, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and you can either get it by itself, or you can get it with the light attachment on it. It's $199 plus $10 shipping if you buy it by itself. Or, of course, if you get the light attachment on the bottom, it's $159, and that will give you a constant source of light all evening long. And once they have the battery pack, it'll run for several weeks, at least at nighttime, as a source of light if you need it. It's far better than a flashlight, because flashlights wear out in a few hours, and this will go all night long. long, simply on one charging of the batteries. So that's the Berkey light, and you can either get it by itself or with a special LED lights associated. And it's available in California, available all across America, except in the state of Iowa. And you get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get some Mylar bags, we carry those. We carry certainly the iodine tablets, all of those things that are available to other ministries we have available through Radio Liberty. And we hope that you'll make your preparations and hope and pray you never need those items. We have an excellent, excellent book, and we want people to get it and read it because it's based upon the papers of a Mr. Robert Crowley, who was deputy director of covert operations for the CIA for many years. They were the people who arranged for assassinations and killing him. And, of course, his papers were left to a friend of mine, Mr. Gregory Douglas. And when you, of course, read those, you find out that the CIA arranged for the assassination of President Kennedy, and they thought it was the right thing to do. And the rationale is there, how they killed Kennedy, how they covered this thing up. And of course, they had to have the help of J. Edgar Hoover. They had to have the help of the media and people very powerfully placed in government. There were some people who, of course, had seen what really happened. Over 100 of them were killed. We have a book called The Dead Witnesses. And they think nothing at all of killing people, of course, who might expose what had really happened. The book is Regicide. It's written by Gregory Douglas, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, why do I mention this? Well, because if they would kill an American president and conceal that for 40 years, what else are they concealing today? Are we being manipulated? Is reality usually scoffed at, an illusion usually king? I believe it is. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. We hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America with the truth. Our weekend program, heard in 35 different markets, 35 different stations during the weekdays. We're heard certainly 2 hours on shortwave, 3 hours on satellite, 5 hours on the Internet, 5 hours on various radio networks. What, quite frankly, we will appreciate your help because we're primarily a listener-supported. That's how we're really able to reach out across America, because people stand behind us. We sell products here only really because we have to, so we can break even. But if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. We also hope that many of you will go to our website. That's radioliberty.com, and you can listen to our programs there. You can pull down what we've written, pull down our letters. Of course, you can always buy the sets of letters that are already bound, but better still, you may want to just pull them down on your own, and we give you our permission to copy them. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers, because they should be leading this spiritual battle. We ask you to pray for revival in America, because the American people don't turn back to God. Do you really think God is going to protect America? And then we ask you to pray for our boys going into battle. We ask you to pray for the Israelis and the Arabs over there, because each one of them is made in the image and likeness of God. And war is a terrible, terrible, horrible thing. And then we, of course, ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And remember those words from the Bible, "Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." And those words are what sustain me, knowing that as long as we're in God's protection under his will, why, he will be with us. "Lo, even unto the end of the world."
Hello. What's that?
That was an interesting program.
Yeah,
I thought it was. It went very, very well.
Did you ever have a chance to see if you had enough pieces for the Phenopoly set?
Who's that?
Did you ever have a chance to see if you had enough pieces for the Phenopoly set?
I have not. I apologize. I will try to get that thing done by the first of the week.